to Leader of the Club, all the news you need to know from two Disney geeks. I am Jessica.
I am Hula, and happy Chippendale Rescue Rangers week.
Very, yes, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. I am so glad you bring that up because I have not watched it yet. Did you watch it already? I know.
Yes, I did. I watched it last night. I don't know if you were gonna talk about it or if you wanted a spoiler free review.
Let's talk about it. Let's do spoiler free. Well, I mean, it's Chippendale, it's Rescue Rangers. Yes. I think a lot of people did watch it this weekend. I had a lot of TV Friday night. I wasn't even home. I had a dinner that I had to go to at Viejas here in San Diego, which was awesome. This weekend was also Drag Race premiere, so I had two episodes of that. And then there was the new season of Love on the Spectrum.
Tell me about that show.
The U.S. version on Netflix, which is fantastic. That
just came out, right?
So there's two seasons from Australia. It's actually originally an Australian show, and it's about adults on the spectrum trying to find love. It's awesome. I am a huge fan of this show. I cannot recommend it enough. So they just put out the U.S. version, and it's the first season of the U.S. version. It's 6 episodes. It'll warm your heart. You will fall in love with every single person on this show and root for them. It's so pure and joyful.
And please tell me they don't boot people off.
No. It's a reality show. It's not that kind of reality competition show.
Like it's not a Bachelor.
It's just following these people that, you know, live in their world and, you know, watching them go on dates and, you know, going through what everybody else does trying to, you know, date. But here they are going on dates and they're on the spectrum, which makes
it a reality documentary show versus a reality competition show.
Correct. Yeah, more of a docuseries. Awesome. And it's done very well. I've read a lot about it. They have a lot of consultants that are on the spectrum. They're very gentle with the people that are on the show. They don't force them to do things that they don't want to do. It's
good.
Very well done. I highly, highly suggest it. And it's a great representation of adults on the spectrum, which we don't see a lot of. In this point in media, what we've seen up until this last year, you know, between this show and As We See It, before that it was Rain Man and other shows like that where they were always kind of
exploited.
I don't want to say exploited. Like Rain Man, they're just shown in one way where it's always that genius level person that,
right,
you know, can, and that's not necessarily the case. Every autistic person is different. So it's really cool to see realistic representations of autistic people in media. And I highly suggest Love on the Spectrum. That I know that is not Disney. I know we have already gone off track and it's only a couple minutes into the podcast, but I highly suggest the show. It's so good.
Okay, perfect. And then one last thing. You saw, I don't watch the Drag Race thing, but it's all over my TikTok. And I know there's the one guy who is, they're all former winners, correct?
Yes. So this new season of Drag Race is all stars. It's an all-star season, which they do all the time. But this one is all winners. And it's so good. I cannot tell you. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It's so
good.
One
of my guilty pleasures was back in the day watching Tyra and mm-hmm. America's Top Model, mm-hmm. and one of the drag racers is Raja.
Yes, Raja. Yeah, she won season 3, which was over 10 years ago, which is crazy.
So I'm rooting for Raja, even though I don't know everybody else.
Raja's fantastic. Jinx Monsoon killed it during the Snatch Game this week. It's a masterclass. The thing is, every single person on this show is good, and they're good.
They're not like the evil, like the villain.
No, there's no villains. They're all good. And they're all good. Okay. They're just they're the best of the best at drag. And to watch all these people competing in the same spot, it's so much fun. If you've never watched Drag Race before, I would suggest just start watching this, even if you don't know the people, the contestants, because it's so good. It's such good drag. It's awesome.
You brought up those two shows, so that's why I brought them up. While I was watching Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
That's what I was watching. I was also watching Legendary, too, which came out on Thursday on HBO Max with three episodes. Legendary is a reality competition show based on the world of the ballroom scene.
So it's like Dancing with the Stars.
No. Ballroom scene is something that started in the queer community, the LGBTQ plus community.
Okay.
In the like 70s, 80s, I believe. And it's basically everything that has become vernacular now to a lot of other people started in the ballroom scene. And no, people don't realize that. Even a lot of the vernacular they use on Drag Race is very much started in the ballroom scene. There's a great documentary called Paris is Burning that I can't recommend enough to really kind of show you the beginning of the ballroom scene and how it all started. Anyways, but that's
very cool.
Neither here nor there. We are so off topic. And it's only a couple minutes in, but we'll get there. We're going to get, because we have a lot of Disney news to cover this week. Oh, gosh.
Don't worry, guys. I covered the Sneakerella and I covered the Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
So let's get through the news and then we'll talk Sneakerella and Rescue Rangers. Maybe we can do a little spoilery review, maybe unspoilery. Cool. I mean, Sneakerella, it's Cinderella. We all know how that goes.
With a twist.
With a twist, of course. Yes. So let's get started. First off, since we are I was just talking about some great LGBTQ plus TV shows that aren't Disney. And we are going into June soon here. It is Pride Month. And Disney, of course, is releasing their Pride collection.
Their merch, yeah.
Yes. They do this every year, but they've never called it Pride before, which is a big deal that they did decide to call it Pride this year. They always called it the Rainbow Collection. So before, a lot of people kind of accused it of being virtue signaling, which a lot of companies does, like, oh, let's slap some rainbows on stuff and sell it during the month of June, but we'll never actually say what it is and what it's for. It's unfortunate. But after the Don't Say Gay bill, all the backlash against that, Disney finally just straight up called it the Pride Collection. So there's different items that they'll be having for sale at the parks and also at shopdisney.com. And all of their different brands will have specific stuff. The Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel will all have specific merchandise. And the coolest thing is this year they did decide to make it, before they would give a portion of the proceeds to one LGBTQ plus charity, this year they are giving 100% of the profits to charities for the LGBTQ plus community.
Wait, go back to that one other shirt.
Oh, this last shirt. I love Power this one. There's a great shirt for this Marvel. This says Power, Heroic, Courage, Strong, Protect, Bold, and has all the symbols of a bunch of the different Marvel heroes, where the O's would be. Really love cool. But all of the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds from now to June 30th, will support LGBTQIA plus youth and families. You can find out more at twdcpridecollection.com. But some of the some of the charities that it'll be going to here in the United States include the Ally Forney Center. It's the which is the largest organization working to care for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth who have been rejected by their families and thrown out to the streets because of their identity. Gleason, G-L-S-E-N. This is actually the charity that they usually gave part of the proceeds to every year. Mm-hmm. They exist to create safe and affirming schools and learning environments for all K through 12 students, regardless of their sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. So they're going to be receiving some money from this Pride Project at Disney, as well as LGBTQ Center in the Orange County, also the Los Angeles LGBTQ Center or LGBT Center, PFLAG National, the San Francisco LGBT Center, which Pixar is in San Francisco, as is the Star Wars headquarters is in San Francisco, the Trevor Project, which is an amazing organization that helps crisis intervention for at-risk youth, and help with suicide prevention. It's a great organization. The Zebra Coalition, And then also in Europe and Asia, they're going to be helping out some of their local charities as well. So 100% of the proceeds from the Pride collection that Disney is releasing this year is going to these charities. So that's really cool. Usually, like I said, it was only a portion. But this year that it's 100%. You can feel a little bit better if you're going to buy some of that Pride collection. I wasn't, after everything that would happen with the Don't Say Gay Bill originally, I wasn't going to buy anything from that collection. But now that they are making such an effort, you know, I think it's okay too. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there's that. Let's go over to Walt Disney World. They've had some big changes at the at Genie Plus this week that we're probably going to be seeing coming here soon. As of right now, none of this is happening at Disneyland, but it's very interesting. So starting June 8th, Genie Plus will only be available for purchase on the day of your visit, which means if you're buying tickets ahead of time, you if you were buying tickets ahead of time, you could add on Disney Genie Plus as you were purchasing your tickets. Now, the only way to get them is if you buy them the day of your visit.
Your visit.
Yeah. If you have already bought them for a future visit, they're not going to take them away or anything like that. but they're just not. Yeah. They're just not going to for any future purchases starting June 8th. You will not be able to add them on before. And I think this is part of how they're going to try to combat the issues that they've been having with the Disney Genie Plus. You know, they put out recommendations now that you could get saying, you know, you might get as little as 1 to 2 Genie Plus selections because of the availability. Originally, they did say that Genie Plus would never sell out. It'd be available to whoever they want. Now they're saying it's, quote, subject to availability, which means it most likely that the Genie Plus will be scaled back somewhat. And they'll probably put a cap on it per day, which is great because if you've seen any of those lightning lanes at Disneyland or Walt Disney World, sometimes they are longer. They still take you another half hour to an hour at some of them. Yep. When you're supposed to be, quote, skipping the lines, and now you're still waiting a half hour to an hour in those lines if you were able to get one or two selections at all, depending on the day. So it's been very difficult, and Disney has obviously been looking for a way to make this a more efficient system. So this is a way that they are. However, it does make going to Disney World even more difficult than before.
Oh, it's a chore.
It's very much a chore. Now, you're 7 a.m. the day of your visit. You can no longer sleep in. It's just not a thing. Because now at 7 a.m., not only that's when you can start buying your Disney Genie Plus and getting your first selection. You also, that's when you start, or actually, I'm sorry. No, midnight is when you can start buying the Genie Plus. And at 7 a.m., you have to get up for your first selection. Plus, you also want to buy any of those individual lightning lanes if you can. And that's only if you're staying on property. If you're staying off property, you can't buy the Genie. I don't think you can make any of your individual selections until you get in
to the property. And when you're on property, like if you are happy to stay at one of the resorts, you're able to make selections. But if you are outside the resort,
I don't think you can. But I can't. Yeah. I'm not exactly 100% on that one. But it's just going to be cumbersome. It's going to be a lot. And then plus, if you're trying to get into like the Guardians of the Galaxy virtual queue, or if you're trying to buy individual lightning lanes, which there's still a few of those, it's just going to be 7 o'clock is going to be very difficult. Annoying. And for people that don't know this system, it's going to be so much harder to go on a trip and get to do what you want to do. And which is very frustrating. It's very frustrating for a lot of people. I don't know if this is the ultimate solution to it all, but I mean, just the reservations right now are still making a lot of people upset because they don't realize that they have to make reservations to get into the park. Now they're also having to wait in 2-3 hour lines, or they can try to do the 7 a.m. thing, which a lot of people don't know. And if you're not really a phone person or a, you know, smartphone person, It's going to be a little difficult, so.
Oh, it's weird because you almost have to prepare way ahead of time for your vacation because even my cousins who purchased Genie Plus when we went a month ago were still like, okay, but if I do this right now and then we come back at this time and then like was only given one selection or two selections, if that really, and it was just so frustrating to use while they were there that they were like, you know what, forget it. We don't want to do this.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people have – that's happened to a lot of people. And I think the selection will be a little bit easier once they do limit the amount of people that can buy it in a day.
Right.
And it's interesting, too. I saw this a couple articles and discussions about that about this week is that Disney – both Disneyland and Walt Disney World are seeing even more – because I believe in so far they're in this quarter in 2019 – they made more this quarter than they did in the same quarter in 2019. So they're making more than they did pre-pandemic. And that's a lot of people are doing what the media is calling revenge vacationing, meaning they couldn't vacation for so long because of the pandemic. People now are going all out and they're spending as much money as they can and they're doing whatever they want. And so because of that, parks like Disneyland and Walt Disney World are getting so full and it's getting so crazy busy. And that's one of the reasons why they say that they need the reservation system, because otherwise, you know, who knows how many people would be those parks every single day. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when this Disney Genie Plus goes away. It doesn't go away. I'm so sorry. When they change this, as of right now, there's no, word on if this is going to happen at Disneyland as well, but I assume usually if it happens in one park, it'll happen at the other park too. So just keep your eye on that.
I'm curious to know if it was a situation like how the Fast Pass, like if it was so troublesome with Fast Passes.
Well, it's not that it was troublesome. It's just that they weren't making any money off of it. Now they can make money off of it.
Right, but I almost feel like, you know,
and I feel like they're putting more, I think more people are buying Genie Plus than utilize the FastPass system. And the FastPass system, they really cut it, they capped it off very quickly.
Right, there was I remember a lot of times people FastPassing to, what was it, at California Adventure?
Yeah.
It was always, there was one ride that it was always, like, done. Like
Radiator Springs Racers. First thing in the morning.
That's what it couldn't get them. And you have to go over to the California Adventure.
Yep.
No, into the Grizzly Bear Run. There was like a ticket area over there. I couldn't remember.
Grizzly Bear was World of Color.
World of Color. Yeah. That's what it was. And it was like early on, it was like done.
Yeah. And Radiator Springs Racers, the only time I ever got a fast pass for Radiator Springs Racers, funnily enough, was opening day. Because everybody on opening day ran to Radiator Springs Racers to get in line. And so we just walked over to the Fast Pass and grabbed a Fast Pass because nobody was waiting for Fast Passes for on opening day because they all just wanted to go get in line in at first. So we grabbed a Fast Pass, which I actually to this day still have because we didn't end up using it because we rode it a lot during the media preview.
So, oh, that's right. So you already got experience.
So I had already rode it several times. And so.
Oh, yeah.
So I still have that fast pass from opening day of Radiator Springs Racers, which is really funny.
Yeah, I remember writing it during media day. And then also since at that time when it opened, when Radiator Springs opened, I was an annual pass member. So I got to an AP preview party.
I did one of
those
too.
Which I rode multiple times. So it was like the coolest thing to go into the park and be like, oh, I've ridden that 12 times. I don't need to worry about that anymore.
I just realized we were probably there twice the same day.
Probably.
Because, that media day where they closed down the entire park. Look at that.
We were
there. Before we even knew each other. Yeah. Small world.
Exactly. I know.
Or it's just radio.
It's a small world after all.
Anyways.
I don't know. Frustrating.
I think limiting the amount of people that can buy it in a day is going to help it a lot.
Right, I guess.
Especially have those half an hour lightning lane lines where you're just like, why are people paying to just still wait in line? The whole point is that you're going to pay and not have to wait in line. So that's what's really becoming a problem. And so we'll see what happens. And we'll keep an eye on it as well. Also, starting May 31st, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will be moving from individual Lightning Lane to a regular Genie Plus attraction. So once Guardians of the Galaxy opens, there'll still be one Lightning Lane in each park, in Magic Kingdom, or which is the individual Lightning Lane attraction. This is the one that you have to pay per person per ride to get a Lightning Lane for it. It's not included in Genie Plus. Mm-hmm. So Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Avatar Flight of Passage, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, and Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. So one ride in each park, which makes a lot of sense. And those will be your individual Lightning Lanes if you want to get on those. The most popular, one ride in each park. That makes a lot of sense. I get that. So
100%. Yeah. 100%.
We talked last week how Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be a virtual queue. And I said I think it was only opening up once per day. It's actually going to be opening up 3 times per day, which is interesting. So they'll have the first virtual queue at 7 a.m. And then again at 1 p.m., the 1 p.m. you need to be inside of Epcot. And then they'll actually have another one at 6 o'clock. And this will be exclusively for guests staying at deluxe resort hotels.
Deluxe resort hotels.
Correct. So at 6 p.m., and you don't have to be in the park to get that. But you can try to get into the virtual queue for the Guardians of the Galaxy for their extended hours that they have for the deluxe resort hotels on certain nights. For the extended hours period. I believe it's every night that they do that at Epcot, but that's only if you are a deluxe resort hotel guest. So just keep that in mind if you're rich. If you got the money.
If you're revenge vacationing and you're doing everything deluxe.
There you go. Also, if you're looking to get to Walt Disney World in 2023, hotel and resort packages will be starting to open up on June 8th. So if you're trying to get there, one of the busy times, June 8th will be the day you need to mark on your calendar so you can try to get your preferred hotel and experience for 2023. Look at that. We're already talking about 2023. Epcot also announced a bunch of their headliners for the Eat to the Beat concert series for the Food and Wine Festival that starts in July. I didn't realize the Flower and Garden is still going on. This is the longest it's ever gone on.
Yeah. It's going. That's the one I went on in April.
It's going till July 4th.
That's good. It's a good festival. The food was really good there. I had a good time.
I think Epcot at this point is just going to be doing festivals all the time. I think there's like quick little weeks off where they don't have festivals. But for the most part, if you're going to Epcot at any time, you're going to have a festival. There's like there'll be like 10 days between Flower and Garden and Food and Wine. Mm-hmm. And then probably Food and Wine goes right up until the Christmas celebration, and then they'll have their holiday festival. And there might be like a couple days off in between those two just to reset everything. And then you go after the holidays, you go right into the Festival of the Arts. There's a couple days. And so I think they're just keeping the festivals because it does work well for them. And people love the festivals at Epcot. So it totally makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And with the Flower and Garden one, like the landscaping is top notch. It's phenomenal.
So cool.
It's beautiful.
It's so cool.
It's so cool that I would want to keep it around for a long time, especially if I was one of the landscapers. Because it's like, dude, we put so much effort into this and it's beautiful. Let a lot of people see it for sure.
Well, and one blog I was reading today said, no, usually it doesn't go on this long. And so we don't see a lot of these flowers in full bloom.
Oh, yeah.
And so the park right now is stunning.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's
when
so
we were
pretty.
There, it's really cool.
And it's going to be even more beautiful as more of these flowers get in more bloom. So, anyway, so the Food and Wine starts in July. They did announce a bunch of the concerts. These are all free concerts that is part of your ticket to Epcot that day. So they're going to start off with Baha Men, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Taylor Dane, Tiffany, Joey Fatone and Friends. Don't know what Joey Fatone and Friends means, but that sounds like fun. The Devin Allman Project, Christopher Cross, Journey former lead vocalist Steve Aguirre, Air Supply, Southern Avenue, Chris Allen and David Cook are doing a co-headlining show. There you go. Hoobastank, Los Amigos wow. Invisibles, B.B. Mac, Stokely, Sheila E.
B.B. Mac.
I know B.B. Mac came back. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, wow.
I love B.B. Mac.
Until you're back there, baby.
I love you so. I love that you know B.B. Mac, and it makes me so happy. I loved B.B. Mac. Stokely, Sheila E., Mark Willis, 38 Special, Billy Ocean, Hansen, and ending
Billy
it off.
Billy Ocean.
In November 4th through 7th is Boys to Men.
Oh, wow.
I love me some
See,
Boys to
that's
Men.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a good... And I don't, you know, what's funny is while I was there again during spring break, which is one of the busiest mm-hmm. weeks, you know, there, and it didn't feel too busy at Epcot.
Epcot is such a big park that it takes a lot of people to feel busy.
Yeah, you didn't realize it was busy until you got to Remy.
Yeah.
Or you got to the – I mean, obviously it's going to be even more busy with Cosmic Rewind, mm-hmm. but you don't realize how – I swore there was like empty pathways when yeah. I was walking there during spring break. That's the craziest thing.
That's the beauty of Epcot, and I love Epcot. Yeah. It's probably
it's
one
big.
Of my favorites.
It's huge.
And so like I said, all of these shows are free with your ticket. Yeah. However, there are you can secure spots in the show with the Eat to the Beat dining packages. Which are available Friday through Monday, so the weekends shows, and you can start purchasing those May 24th. They also announced the global marketplace food booths. There's a ton of them. There's a ton of food. They didn't get into the menus yet, although somewhere I thought I saw menus, but I don't think it's fully menus. So we'll see the menus come, but you can check out all the food booths. I mean, there's just a ton of booths. We can sit here for 3 hours and talk about their booths.
And they're all delicious.
Yes, they
are. And they're all not busy.
No.
Surprisingly, no.
Well, I went into one time. Now, this was years ago. I think they've expanded it even more. And it was a little bit of a line. But it's still, they go so fast. They're so efficient.
Oh, they're very efficient. And then with the new mobile app system.
Yeah, mobile ordering. It's genius.
Yeah, it's even better. Yeah.
Yeah. Not much going on at Disneyland right now as far as news. Of course, you know, Fantasmic restarts again this weekend, which is awesome. But while at the Moffitt Nathanson 9th Annual Media and Communications Summit, the Disney CFO, Christy McCarthy, made a comment saying that we're going to be seeing Encanto in the parks, quote, soon.
Disneyland, Disney World.
She didn't say. This is what her quote was. Something that's not really in the parks, but I think you will see it soon, is something like Encanto. It was really just wonderful. And the music, you know, the elements of that could be incorporated into the park experience. Now, the big rumor is that Tarzan's treehouse will be turned into something Encanto.
Yeah.
Which is very possible. It's interesting. So they're doing the demolition on that right now. And you know how there's that bridge and there's that second part that's in the walkway? That's gone.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's completely gone now. So whatever it is going to be, we'll just have to probably go up in the trees and then down in the tree. I don't know. But that one walkway with the bridge, that's completely gone, which is nice because that was sometimes a little bit of a pinch point. So that helps alleviate that walkway right there above Pirates. So that'll help out a lot. But we'll see. They still haven't officially announced anything what they're going to do with it. They have said they're going to do something with it, but they haven't said what yet. And hopefully it's going to be Encanto.
I'm hoping with B.B. Mac, Hanson, Joey Fatone and friends that there would be some sort of turning red situation happening at Epcot, because it would fit perfectly along the lines, and even Boys to Men with the boy band craze. And I know people there. I mean, when I was there, I mean, people were like, "Is there anything turning red?" Like, I would listen to strangers talk to me, like, "Yeah, like it's a huge craze."
Why is there no May or May? Yeah, why is there no walk around character of her? Which is
a
big panda.
A huge red panda.
Why is there no
somewhere?
Red panda walk around character? I don't
there
understand why that hasn't
there
happened yet.
There needs to be a red panda walking around hugging people.
I don't get that. The whole point of the movie was them. Everybody wanted to hug that character. So do I. I want to hug the red panda.
The merch that they did have at the stores that I went to were like little, like they were practically because
they
gone.
Sold out.
I that's what I'm saying.
Everything people sold out so
want,
quick.
People want to, you know, whatever's on my mind, your mind.
The Four Town shirt, you cannot get it. I think it went back on sale for like a day on Shop Disney, and it sold out. By the time I tried to go get it, sold out completely.
That's what I'm hoping with all the boy bands coming to the Epcot. I mean, that's just, you know, Disney, you can steal
that
idea.
Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun?
I'm just saying.
A girl
can
dream.
It's the 90s.
Right?
It's 90s, and that's when, you know, Turning Red was placed in the 90s. So I'm just saying. In Canada, it's in Canada, so why don't you just put them in Canada?
How long before the Canada show goes away and they just put it into a Turning Red show? Which would be bummer, because I do like that show.
Or put May May on the outside, like just walking around.
She could just walk around. I don't understand why she's not. You're right. That could add a little Disney to that Canada pavilion if they just put the character. I don't need her to take over everything. But if they could put the
just
character
a little corner.
There, yeah,
just
that's
a little
fine.
Corner. She's that's fine. She. That's where it's placed at in Canada. It's where she's from. But
I have no problem with saying. That.
Yeah, I and like then it. You could pump in that music in there as everybody like you know how many people would be standing like Four Town.
Oh.
Even if you just had the characters, the face characters of Abby, Priya.
If they put a Four Town show together at some Disney park, do you know who's going to be first in line? I will. That's where my money goes. I will go to Walt Disney World in
Jordan
a heartbeat.
Jordan Fisher looks like Robert.
Because he is. That's how he plays.
Because he is. That's who he plays. So he could headline it.
I mean, if it was like even just like some, you know, local performers where it was a multiple day show, you know, all the time, and they're doing a Four Town show. So in for it.
No, I you wouldn't be alone either. Like, could you imagine how many moms and kids, like moms love, like, yeah.
Oh, let's do that.
Disney, there you go. There's your idea. Take it. Run with it.
Take that idea for Epcot. And here's your, and once again, I'm going to say my idea for DCA for the millionth time. The Hyperion Theater that's doing nothing right now. Marvel stunt show. I don't know who I need to talk about if we had an Avenger stunt show. Why is that not a thing?
We have an Indiana Jones stunt show. You could friggin' put a stunt show there.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a smaller theater. I mean, the Indiana Jones is massive. That's a huge, massive area that they
it's
do
outdoor,
it in.
Yeah.
But they can do something in that theater. The stunt show that they do in Shanghai is about, the theater's about the same size. They could
is
do
it
that.
Inside?
Yes. And it's really cool. They do.
Maybe they're doing it. We just don't know.
I would think that it just would make sense. Maybe next summer we'll have a Marvel Avengers stunt show.
I mean, you never know.
I don't know.
Like
to see it.
They're listening to our ideas. It's going to happen.
Right now. If I met Bob Chapek, I would now be like, hey, I understand you guys got a lot going on, but here's my idea for you. And then when you do it, I just want a free ticket to go see it. Here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
you got the Hyperion Theater. It's not doing anything right now.
Boom.
Marvel stunt show.
Boom.
Yeah.
There it is. And then if at DCA, if you wanted, like at the front, you can make a little stage area like they've done in the past with the Tron show that they had. Or isn't there the stage area that's right there still, right, Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, but they use that for all those local performance groups to perform.
Well, there's where you put Four Town.
That is where you put Four Town.
And May May's there. Boom. I know it's not a Pixar.
Maybe they'll do that for Halloween. Wouldn't that be fun?
I think it would be fine. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love when I see Sully. Like, I really want to hug him because he's
cuddly. Sully and Chewbacca, the two most huggable characters at any Disney park.
Could you imagine if May May was the red panda walking around?
I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet.
That's like gold mine right there.
I just
More
don't
people
understand.
Would go. Especially during Asian American Pacific Islander Month. You should have had May May there.
I feel like it probably is something they've been talking about, but who knows, with backups and things and budgets and whatever. Everything. They're still having to get a little behind. And yeah.
Right. You can't just throw things together. You have to make sure it's planned out correctly and all that kind of good stuff.
And you got to, and making a big costume like that's going to be a feat.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of money for
that. Yeah. Yeah, and
that
it's
costume.
And you got to make you get the and you have to make sure you get the proportions right, and it'll be difficult. But once it happens, I will be there and I will go hug her.
I think Mamie would be. Is Mamie bigger than Sully? I'm trying to picture because you're around Boo, and Boo's tiny.
If not, they're about the same. And here's the thing: she's very wide.
She's huge. Like you couldn't wrap. Yeah,
it's not just the tall. It's the wideness that I think could be the.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to have a whole. I don't care. Just do it. I just don't understand why it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah. It needs to be there.
Anyways,
Disney. There you go.
Once again, if they just listen to us, we would have all the best ideas, and they could just keep going. Yeah, also, exactly. For the Marvel event stunt show, just throw in I could do this all day. Have that be the grand finale where some random dude comes singing. Or maybe we're at... Oh, here's what it is. So here's the Marvel stunt show. Here we go. Avengers stunt show. We're just... This is called armchair. This is called armchair imagination. Okay, wait.
We're Imagineers. We're pretend Imagineers.
It starts. You're at the you're at a stage production of Rogers the musical, and okay. You are seeing the opening number, which they're gonna open in the fight for New York, and they're doing "I could do this all day," and then all of a sudden, here comes some Marvel villain out of nowhere.
Boom.
Boom. Yes. And that's how it starts. And they're having a fight in the middle of the theater.
I agree with you. I'm there for it. I'm there. And then the real characters come out because they're trying to save the musical people.
Right.
I love that. I love that idea. I think it should be done. It needs to be done. It needs to not be a holding room for whatever. What is it? Or Pim's
Test Kitchen? It's nothing right now. The queue area is seating for Pim's Test Kitchen right now.
Yeah, well, we need to move that somewhere else.
Well, and they can still do some queue area because the way they used to queue it before, they didn't always use that entire space, and they don't have to use that entire space for it maybe, especially if they have like a virtual queue system. They don't have to use the entire space.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Who
do million-dollar idea right there.
Who do I talk to?
And then you can sell merch. You can sell merch.
And we can use I Could Do This All Day. Have the full song in it. I would be so happy. Anyways.
Disney, we're here. You're welcome.
All right. moving on. Speaking of stage productions, Disney Junior has announced their tour. They are doing a new tour. It's Disney Junior Live on Tour Costume Palooza. Ooh. Marvel's Spidey and his amazing friends will join Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Dog McStuffins, the Puppy Dog Pals, all live on stage. This is the first time you'll see Marvel's Spidey and his amazing friends. This is a stage show kind of similar to a Disney on Ice, but on stage. There's a tour. It kicks off September 2nd. You can get all the details at DisneyJuniorTour.com. There's several Southern California stops, including Riverside. Thousand Oaks is actually where it starts in September, and then December come back to California, the 14th in Anaheim, 15th here in El Cajon at the Magnolia. And the 17th in LA. So if you are into the Disney Junior, your kids are into the Disney Junior, that is a hot ticket to get.
Yeah, my daughter loves Tots and Dino Ranch, but it doesn't sound like they're in there.
We just started Dino Ranch.
Does Walt like it?
Loves it. He loves dinosaurs. He's in a dinosaur phase.
That's perfect.
He's in a big dinosaur phase. So that's a big deal. Moving over to the Disney Cruise Line, they have changed some of their testing requirements starting on or after June 7th. If you're still have to be fully vaccinated in order to go on a trip, and if you're eligible to, so everybody 5 and up has to be fully vaccinated to get on a cruise, Disney cruise right now. Those that are ineligible to be vaccinated yet because of age restrictions, testing requirements are going to remain the same. However, if you are fully vaccinated, starting on or after June 7th, you will have to get your own negative COVID-19 test prior to boarding. Right. So taken no more than 2 days before their sale date.
Is it a rapid, not PCR, right?
The test must be a rapid antigen test professionally observed by a medical professional through a medical facility or telehealth provider. an NAAT test or a rapid PCR test or lab-based PCR test.
Okay.
You can...
they want you to pay for it now.
Pretty much. So you can help... you can pre-purchase them through the third-party vendor, the Inspire Diagnostics, that does all the on-site testing for Disney right now for the Disney Cruise Line. Or you can do a test from any independent testing supplier as long as it makes one of those requirements. And it's no more than 2 days before the sale date. And you must upload
Your results
to the Safe Passage website by midnight prior to embarkation day. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, there is still testing on site, but they will charge you. It'll be $74 plus tax for the initial antigen test. Wow. And if you have to get another one, it'll be $125 plus tax for confirmatory PCR test charged at the time of service. So just do it ahead of time now. But that means also, if you're whole party is 5 and up and fully vaccinated, once you have those tests and you put them up on the website, you're good to sail. There's no on-site testing that you'll have to do, you know.
Awesome.
So once you guys are good to go, you just load it up and you don't have to worry about waiting for that on-site testing and waiting that 20-30 minutes. Some people I was watching the other day said their test took 5 minutes. Like, it's
mine did.
Yeah,
it went literally we took the test, we walked out. My daughter had fallen in the 90-day safety because of COVID. We had to show the letter.
Yeah.
And then as we went to the restroom, we were standing there at the restrooms, and boom, it's like, you're cleared. We're like, okay, we're ready.
Sounds good. So there you go. So if you're cruising anytime, July, June 7th or after, that is the new requirements for the testing. All right, so we are out of parks. We're now going to go into Disney Plus, Disney streaming, all kinds of other Disney news. First off, this is kind of random, but it's interesting. The XFL. If you don't know what the XFL is, it's football, but arena football, basically.
Right, right.
It's owned by Dwayne Johnson now, the XFL League.
Oh,
and this week they announced that they're going to be starting in 2023. Those games will now be coming to Disney and ESPN, ABC, and FX. So they have made a deal with Disney to run the all 43 XFL games, including playoffs and championship games, and they'll air across ABC, ESPN, and for the first time ever on FX, which FX has never had a sports show on You guys, I know so much about sports. They've never had a sports, any sports programming on FX. So this is the first time. And obviously, this is very much because Disney and Dwayne Johnson very much have a relationship. So, you know, this is a relationship. So if you're into arena football, it's coming to Disney. So you'll see it across all of their platforms. And you'll probably see maybe little, you know, advertisements for it in the parks and things like that.
Oh, it's interesting now because of that streaming day that we just had last week. Like, now it's funny that Disney Plus is adding all the programming into Disney Plus, versus before, like, you couldn't see that show Love, Victor, which is the sequel or the spinoff to Love, Simon, about the young man in high school who's gay.
Mm-hmm.
That only went to Hulu because it seemed like more of a mature audience, but now it's coming to Disney Plus.
Is it?
So I'm in.
I missed that, like, one. I did see.
There's a lot.
Glee's coming to Disney Plus June 1st.
Who?
Glee.
Yes, Glee's coming over to Disney Plus. A lot of things are coming to Disney Plus that are on Hulu that would be more of like a teen show. But that's where I'm like I think how I
– They're also adding parental controls too. So you can – you know, if you have your child –
Right.
If you have a child that's in preschool, you want to keep them watching just preschool content. If there's more mature content – because also the Netflix Marvel shows are now on Disney Plus, which some of them are very dark. So,
oh, yeah, no, I was watching Daredevil, and I was like, that's gory, bloody, like, stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm intrigued, though, because remember they had that whole Lizzie McGuire thing they were doing, the series, and then it was too mature for Disney Plus, so they moved it to Hulu, and then there was some weird talks and stuff.
They didn't move to Hulu. They or the producers
didn't want to do it.
They didn't want to move it to Hulu. The producers and Hilary Duff wanted to move it to Hulu because it was more adult. And Disney's like, no, we want more of like a Fuller House type thing. Like if you've seen Fuller House, wholesome family, we want to keep it family. And they wanted to go, well, this is a 33-year-old single woman. We want to have it be a 30-year-old single woman. So,
which is interesting that she is still on Hulu as How I Met Your Father.
Which is a terrible show.
And she's like full on like in bed with a dude. Like you're just like, I know, Lizzie McGuire.
Which is fine. She's an older woman. She can do that. But I don't understand why we couldn't do that with Lizzie McGuire, which would have been a way better show.
Thank you. There you go.
But whatever. That's not my decision. I mean, look, they're doing that where it's a little more adult with iCarly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, iCarly's back on. It's actually, I think it's second or third season now.
Oh, wow.
And it's a little more adult. Like, they curse in it and everything. And, like, at one point they said the shit hit the fan. I'm like, oh, iCarly. Woo! But they made it a little more adult.
Interesting.
So, all right.
Interesting.
So, speaking of everything happening at Disney Plus, the next step for Disney Plus, we talked about this, is they're going to go into an ad-supported model soon. But Disney, there's a lot of sources saying this week that Disney is going to be very particular about what ads they run on the ad-supported Disney Plus. For example, they will not run any alcohol ads. They will not run any political ads.
Of course.
This is all what sources are saying, but it makes sense.
But I was going to bring up something that I saw because I was watching on National Streaming Day last week of obviously they showed the trailers of Miss Marvel, but did you see the trailer of High School Musical, the series, and Who's Coming?
I saw the quick clip with Corbin Bleu.
So on High School Musical, the series, they're at camp. And in the trailer, and you see a summer camp thing, and they're going to do Frozen, as you've already previously mentioned before, but it's Corbin Bleu who's kind of like in charge of everything, but also making an appearance are cast members like who's the guy on Hannah Montana, the brother?
Okay, that's interesting.
He's coming.
Okay.
To High School Musical, the series, and there's like three more cast members that are going to be joining the team there. So you'll get to meet more people from High School Musical, the series.
Well, fun. Anyways, so we were talking about the ads. They also say that they're not going to show as many ads, or maybe not any ads, possibly.
Uh-huh.
No, don't touch that place. In preschool programming, which I appreciate.
Oh. Makes sense.
But they're also going to be very selective. They're also going to show less ads than most of the competitors. It looks like four minutes per hour, as opposed to some of them do 5 minutes per hour or 6 minutes per hour.
Well, I have the ad supported Hulu because I still have that as I mentioned before, the Black Friday deal of a penny a month that I pay for it, and it. The ads, it's almost like three ads and that's it. So it's almost like a minute and a half, it seems like. It's really short.
Yeah. It's much shorter than TV is going to be at any
100%.
Point. Yeah. I have Hulu with no ads, but there's still some shows like Grey's Anatomy that they have to show with ads, which I don't understand. Because they're like,
because
of streaming rights, I'm like, you own the show. I don't understand why that's a
thing. Yeah, that seems weird.
That makes no sense. Anyways, so this week was Disney Upfronts. Upfronts, if you don't know what those are, this is where TV show, usually it used to be TV networks, would put themselves in front of advertisers to show what their slate of new shows is going to be and to get them to, you know, buy a bunch of advertising. This is usually when a chunk of advertising for different networks would be sold during this time of year during these upfronts. Don't touch that, please. No touch. He's staring at my computer, my equipment, and he really wants to touch it because it's very colorful. You guys, having a 3-year-old is a joy.
no touch. Can you go with Daddy? Oh, McDonnelly. So, that's what it is for High School Musical, the musical, the series. There are some characters that are no longer, I mean, they're now known as, not featured. They're now reoccurring,
Got it. That's good. That's good for them.
including Olivia Rodrigo, Joe
So we won't see
Saperstein
them?
or Sappers. You'll see them periodically, so they'll be guest star, like get like
Yeah.
ran, some episodes won't have them at all.
Well, that makes sense for
So they'll
Olivia
be
Rodrigo.
wait, yeah, 100%. But then we are gaining what is it? Here it is. We're gaining the kid Jason Earls from
Yeah, Jason Earls. I couldn't remember his
he
name. Yeah, from Hannah Montana.
Meg Donnelly, who you know from the zombie movies, and she's also from ABC. She's going to be joining the there. Corbin Bleu and Olivia Rose Keegan will
All
be
right.
all part of the new series. Yeah.
There we go. Hula will always keep us afloat on the High School Musical, the
The
musical, the
goings.
series.
I love that episode. I love that series. It's a
I
great
know you
series.
do.
But I am kind of bummed about the series Mighty Ducks, the reboot,
Are they not
because
bringing
now
it
it's
back?
Josh Duhamel. It's Josh Duhamel.
Oh, that's right. Josh Duhamel's doing
They
the
had
second season.
issues with what's his name, Estevez. So now
Emilio.
Josh Duhamel is a former NFL hockey or not NFL
NHL?
NHL. Thank you,
There
an
you go.
NHL former NHL player turned coach, and now he's the new person that's taking over. So I'm intrigued. Intrigued to see.
Yeah, so a lot of this we learned this week, like I said, because of the upfronts. What's interesting about upfronts is it used to be the networks. So it'd be like NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox. They'd all show have their show shows that are coming in September, and that's when
Right.
advertisers would buy. And that's what upfronts were the big networks. But now the way it is, it's now the companies that produce all of this. And they do everything. So Disney's upfront was ABC. It was Disney Plus. It was
Right.
ESPN. Like they had
Right.
everybody from Kevin Feige to the Kardashians to Peyton Man the Manning brothers talking about sports and ESPN. Like it was a really interesting dynamic, and that same it happened with all the different companies. Paramount did theirs. Not only did they talk about CBS, but they talked about a big part about their Paramount Plus properties.
Oh yeah, the
Same
reality
with
shows, the MTV stuff,
NBC
the
Universal
challenge.
did talked about Peacock.
Peacock.
Warner Brothers talked about HBO. They talked about the CW, but they talked about HBO Plus, like it's or HBO Max. It's just so interesting how streaming has taken over so much. But because of that, we did get some new news, some new trailers this week during the Disney upfronts. I believe theirs was on Wednesday.
Right.
First off, we got our first look at Amy Adams and Maya Rudolph in the new
Oh,
Disenchanted
Disenchanted.
movie that's coming to Disney Plus, and they said it's going to be this Thanksgiving. They revealed that it'll be just in time for Thanksgiving. In the
It's gonna be funny.
It's going to be great. I mean, yeah, Maya Rudolph. It's going to be
Gonna
hilarious.
be
I
funny.
love her.
Yeah.
The photo that
Yeah.
we see, Amy Adams is very dark, more darker than I would have anticipated. She's wearing this very dark blue dress with peacock feathers.
Yeah,
Not
it's
what I
interesting.
expected. I was because when her character before was always like was in the light blue, was in white
The icy
and
blues,
light
yeah.
icy blues. Now she's in this dark blue, so it'll be interesting to see. Maya Rudolph is in black with gold. It's gorgeous with a red necklace, red lips, just stunning. So it'll be very fun to see what this series is like once our movie. Once we get more about that, we should be seeing more soon. Guests at the upfronts also got their first look at the Hocus Pocus 2. They announced that it'll start streaming on Disney Plus September 30th. They had a little rough cut footage. Obviously, that didn't get released to the public, but at people said that what happened in this rough cut footage, it showed two young girls lighting the black flame candle, which summons the central witches, as Midler squeals, "Lock up your children. Yes, Salem, we're back." And then they launch into a musical number, a cover of Elton John's The Bitch Is Back.
Wow.
Also, you saw Doug Jones, who plays Billy Butcherson. He appears in this little clip that they saw, and an unnamed character played by Sam Richardson. Also, Tony Hale, who's going to be playing the mayor of Salem. He was featured in this clip. So exciting stuff. But September 30th is when we're going to be able to watch Hocus Pocus 2. Also, we didn't talk about this on the podcast, but there will be in Hocus Pocus 2, there's going to be a drag number with some drag queens playing the Sanderson sisters. And I am so excited. It'll be Ginger Minj, Cornbread the snack, Jate, and Kimora Hall. I love all three of those queens. That's going to be a super fun thing to watch in this movie.
Nice.
Especially because Cornbread just was on Drag Race. And for her to already get cast in this movie, that's big for her. And Ginger Minj and Kimora Hall, I didn't expect, but that's really cool. Ginger Minj's amazing. She could be in everything. I thought she could have been playing, she could have been in The Little Mermaid, and I would have been fine with it. Anyways, we also got another look at Baymax, and they said it's going to be on Disney Plus June 29th, they said.
I can't wait to start
looking for that. The new footage looks so much fun. Classic Baymax energy. I'm really excited for the show. I really am. And also, like you mentioned, yesterday was National Streaming Day. One other quick note on National Streaming Day, just because I'm that part of my notes. Zombies 3 will be released globally July 15th, and it'll stream exclusively on Disney Plus. So you can look for that.
It's about aliens. Have you seen that whole series?
No, it's on my list.
It's great. My daughter is very excited about it. She's a tween and she's 9 and she cannot wait for it. It's called Z3.
Okay.
Is what it's called. Yes. So she's excited. And all the kids I was hanging out with at my nephew's birthday yesterday, I kept going, are you excited? You know, Disney Plus. And they're like, Z3. I was like, whoa, it's bigger than I knew.
Well, that's kind of cool. So.
Yeah.
We also had a Marvel presentation during the upfronts. Kevin Feige, like I said, was there. He talked about some of the different properties, of course, and stuff that was coming. Confirmed that Loki is going to get a season 2, and also said that as of right now, Loki is the most watched show, Marvel show on Disney Plus.
What?
I thought that was really interesting. I thought it would
versus WandaVision.
I thought WandaVision, since it was the first one, but I guess because it was the first one, I bet you not as many people were subscribed and then subscribed later. So Loki probably.
I mean, Loki is a fan favorite.
He is.
He is. So I'm not. I'm surprised, but I'm not that surprised.
Right. We also got a new Ms. Marvel trailer, which looks fantastic. We got a little more look into how she got her powers. It's coming from these bracelets that she's wearing. That was a great trailer. We also got a official premiere date and our first trailer for Ms. Marvel. For She-Hulk. So She-Hulk will be premiering on Disney Plus August
17th. She-Hulk. Yes. Attorney at Law.
She-Hulk Attorney at Law. So apparently these will be 9 half. I think it was 9. I could be wrong. If it might not be 9. But these are all.
It's not 6?
I think it's a little more because they're all half hour episodes.
Hey, I'll take it.
And they're supposed to be a comedy. So they're supposed to be like a law comedy. I'm super excited. Guys, number one, Tatiana Maslany. I think you guys are all going to fall in love with Tatiana Maslany that don't know her already on this series. She is so funny. She is such a good actress. There's a lot of complaints about the CGI in the trailer we saw. I think that will get better. They still could be rendering stuff. So I anticipate that getting a lot better as we get because it's not premiering till August 17th. So obviously.
Yeah, they have time to fix
it. They have times to make it just look a little better. There's just a couple things here and there. A little uncanny valley. But I'm so excited to see her. And it looks so much fun. Of course, we get some more Bruce Banner, which anytime you can get some Mark Ruffalo. Bruce Banner.
And somebody else is set to appear. There's another hero that's supposed to appear on there too. I can't think of it. I remember hearing something or seeing something. Maybe it's a different podcast that I saw.
There's rumors. There's nothing confirmed yet of anybody else appearing. The one rumor everybody's wondering, like, will Daredevil appear in this? Because
yes,
he's a lawyer.
He's an attorney. And he's an attorney. That's who it is. He's set to appear.
I don't think it's been confirmed.
Oh, I thought I saw something where he's confirmed and also Vince D'Onofrio's confirmed. Come back as Kingpin.
Well, here's the thing. They're set in New York. This show's set in L.A.
You can always fly.
That's true. So,
and you're Hulk.
And you're Hulk. There you go.
You can jump.
It looks like she'll be kind of a superhero attorney where she's representing different kind of heroes. And we got to look at some different heroes that we've seen, including villains. The Abomination, which was the villain in the first Hulk movie, which we forget about. That was a movie a long time ago. So she's going to be representing him in some way. There was a quick look at Frogman, which is a hero. Hilarious.
And Wong will be there too. Wong would make a cameo.
Wong, thank you. Wong is the other one that is 100% confirmed because he was with the Abomination. He was fighting with the Abomination in Shang-Chi, remember?
Yes, and they brought him back. And then he opened a portal.
And he was going back to his cell, which is the same cell you see in the trailer for She-Hulk.
Yes.
I mean, Marvel. Chef's kiss.
Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you for the crossover. Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for She-Hulk. I mean, and just... I love this idea of this character, what they're doing with it. I think it's going to be super fun. The CGI is a little hard in that trailer, but I think as we watch it more, it'll get better. And I think as we get closer, they'll probably render it a little bit more and it'll get a lot better. So I'm not entirely concerned.
My belief was like, in my head, I'm thinking, you know what, guys, we're not going to show this trailer. Just, you know, do what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, last minute, that somebody higher up was like, we need to show the She-Hulk trailer. Go. And then it was like, oh, this is all I have. Here you go. I don't know. That's just what I want to believe. I think so, too.
I think it'll get better. I'm not entirely concerned. Yeah. And also, there's, I was watching somebody break it down. They're like, look, and they can't make it look exactly like because your eyes will catch it weird. And there's whole science with the Uncanny Valley and why it is and why they have to do things more cartoonish than what we'd actually do in real life because your eye – and your brain catches it weird. There's a whole science behind the Uncanny Valley and CGI like that. That's fascinating. So there's a reason it has to look certain ways. We also got, I think this was part of the upfronts, but not entirely sure. We got a quick look at Echo. That is the show with Echo, Maya Lopez from, the Hawkeye show that we met in that show. And we're going to learn more about her in this show.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. And we got a first look. And then they also revealed that it'll be in 2023. That'll be coming. So we get to look forward to that. They also talked about Secret Invasions. Samuel L. Jackson was there. And here's what's really interesting that they revealed about Secret Invasions. It's going to explore some of the timeline that happened during the blip. Now, the star of the show is Nick Fury. Do you guys remember what happened at the first event, the Avengers movie, when everybody was blipped? He was blipped away.
He was.
So this is obviously somebody that's pretending to be him during the blip.
Oh, it's probably
that's the whole part of the show.
Yeah, it's those guys. Those guys. What are they called? Creon.
I know. My brain just stopped working, too, and I forgot to write it down.
Creo.
I don't know. Anyways, so that's Secret Invasion. So somehow somebody was using Nick Fury's likeness during the blip, which I think is really interesting. And I'm also excited
to see... Samuel Jackson's like, yes!
Well, yeah. I'm excited to see the Marvel world during the blip, because I want to see that. The only time we saw some of it was during... the One Avengers movie. None of the shows have explored really during the blip. it's all been after Blip stuff.
Right. There was like during the 5 years that went, was it 5 years?
Yes, 5 years.
It just everybody, boom. It was like, here we are. We're back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There was no Blip.
So I'm excited to see that. So we'll get to explore that world, which will be interesting. And then not something that happened at the upfronts, but also it was Variety is reporting that they are working on a new Daredevil series for Disney Plus. Matt Corman and Chris Ord are developing the series, and it'll come after the it's coming after all these rumors that Disney really wants to get Charlie Cox back in costume to be in Daredevil. So it looks like we're getting another Daredevil series.
Kinda yeah, cool. I'm intrigued to know if it's going to continue from the Daredevils that we see right now
on Netflix. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that's now over at Disney Plus.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be the same central Marvel universe. But what?
Because are those canon?
The Netflix shows? I don't know now. See, that's what I'm so confused by.
Okay.
I mean, those could just be another multiverse, they can say, and it's not the mm-hmm. same. But it could also right. just be the same universe. I don't know. Because Kingpin seems a little different than when we saw him in Hawkeye than he was in the Daredevil series on Netflix. So I don't know.
Right. He was more, crazy. Yeah,
it's very interesting. So we'll see. Moving over to Star Wars, we got a beautiful Vanity Fair cover this week Star Wars. Just stunning. Annie Leibovitz, who of course does most Vanity Fair covers, shot this amazing cover to promote all the Star Wars stuff that is coming out. It has Ahsoka, we've got Mando, Obi-Wan, and Cassian Andor. Those are the next shows that we're going to be seeing from Disney Plus. From Star Wars on Disney Plus. It does look like Star Wars is very much concentrating on their series and not doing movies. In fact, the next movie that's going to be coming from a Star Wars movie, there's no longer going to be doing any trilogies. Right now, they're concentrating on solo movies. The next one will be coming from Taika Waititi, they confirmed, which, fine. Okay. I trust Taika Waititi with anything. So we'll see him doing the next Star Wars movie will be a Taika Waititi movie. Still no timeline, though. It's way far off in the future. They're really concentrating on these TV shows first. And then after that, it looks like when the next movie come out, it'll be Patty Jenkins, and that'll be the Rogue Squadron. That's still on their list. It's just there's no timeline for it as of right now. So
wow, it's still there.
It's still there.
There's still hope for Rogue Squadron. Yeah, I thought it was gone too.
After Wonder Woman 1984, it's just... why, but anyways, we also got as part of this Vanity Fair article, more looks at Diego Luna as Andor and Genevieve O'Reilly as Mon Mothma. Mon Mothma, you may remember, she was in the original Star Wars A New Hope movie. She was a character in that, and she's made appearances in Rogue One since then. Different actress, of course, I believe. So that Mon Mothma will be a character in Andor, which is obviously a prequel to Rogue One, because obviously if you've seen Rogue One. But this is kind of how...
everybody's gone.
Yeah, they're all dead. Well, not Mon Mothma, but Andor. Andor is. So this kind of is Cassian Andor's origin story. And it looks like that's going to be coming in... late summer 2022. So we could be getting that as soon as August. Because obviously Obi-Wan's the next one. So Andor will be next in late summer 2022. I have a feeling we'll get a trailer for that next weekend.
Cool.
Because Star Wars Celebration is next weekend. So we'll most likely be getting
get a ton of stuff.
Yeah, we're going to get a ton of Star Wars stuff. So this Vanity Fair is kind of part of that media push. And then we're going to get a ton of stuff next weekend. Also, according to Vanity Fair, The Mandalorian Season 3 will debut between between late 2022, early 2023. So that's kind of like when Book of Boba Fett.
What they normally do.
Book of Boba Fett was, I believe, December 29th of 2021. Yep. So... same kind of timeline for Mandalorian, and then Ahsoka will debut in 2023.
Okay.
So like I said, very much concentrating on the TV properties for Star Wars, not so much the movies, which frankly is fine. For the most part, they've been okay if you don't count a Book of Boba Fett.
Right. Which was, anyways, half Mandalorian.
Yeah. And I'm very excited about the Obi-Wan series. I cannot wait for Friday. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be great. Okay. So before we go, that's all of the news. Let's talk and get some reviews from Hula. First off, Sneakerella, how is it?
If you love musicals, which I know you do, Jessica, you're going to love it. It's definitely the guy twist on Cinderella. The main character's name is Elle. And if you've ever watched Hawaii Five-0, remember that TV show?
Reboot? Oh, yeah.
There was a gentleman, African-American guy named Grover was his character name. It's his son that plays – he was the lead. And it's a really cool twist on it. It almost gives you the vibes of In the Heights meets Hamilton. No, it's very much In the Heights. It's very much In the Heights.
I love In the Heights.
So if you like In the Heights, you'll like this. I think you'll love this movie. My daughter loved it. My sister-in-law loved it. I loved it. I think it's great. So you need to watch it. But you will hate, because it's a stepdad and a stepbrothers. Mm. Like, you will hate the stepbrothers. Like,
got it.
Hate with a capital H-A-T-E. You will. Got they it. They make them so evil that you're just like, how are they there? It's very much so
interesting. Yeah, okay,
it's good. It's good. You need to watch it.
And Rescue Rangers. Definitely. I'm hearing great things about it.
Oh my god!
Like, it shocking. Is... People are saying, why was this not in theaters?
I walked in thinking, okay, Rescue Rangers, this is, and I'll be really honest with you, I'll be very frank. I'm not a big fan of John Mulaney. I do like Andy Samberg, but I'm not a fan of John Mulaney. And I want Chippendale's voice. I don't want Andy Samberg and John Mulaney's voice. Because John is so just dry. But the movie works. The movie works. It's great. You will get the nostalgia feels of everything. I mean, you've seen the trailers. Paula Abdul's in it with Scat Cat. Ugly Sonic's in it. You get He-Man. All of the stuff you grew up watching, you will see in this movie. There's some other cameos that I won't ruin it for you that are just amazing. And there's one moment, Seth Rogen's in this movie. There's one moment that something happens to his character and it will make you laugh out loud, especially if you know how many animated things he's voiced. Yeah. It will make you laugh out loud.
I can't wait. I'm really excited. I think what a great concept. I want to know what their lawyers, how long it took their lawyers to do all this and to get all the rights. Cause that's,
I was shocked that it was put together.
It's wild. Well. I mean, it's like, from what I've seen just in the previews, it's like, the only time I could think of a crossover like this that was anywhere near was back in the day with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit's in it. It was definitely a Roger. It was Roger Rabbit feel, and it was cool as if Toons were in the world and doing things and just a part of our world. I wish that was real. And the only thing though that I did, which is mixed reviews, if you look at the reviews, is the voice of Chippendale, of Andy Samberg, and that there's people who love them and there's people who hate them. There's not like a middle ground where there's other characters that are voiced by somebody else and they work out and you're like, whatever. But Chippendale, yeah, if you get a chance, you should see it. You should definitely see it. It's entertaining.
We were going to watch it last night. And what did we watch instead? We watched something else instead.
You'll be thoroughly entertained. And I wasn't like I was a fan. I know the song. I didn't watch every single episode of Chippendale Rescue. My wife did, and she loved every moment of this movie. I liked it. I thought it was really clever, and it didn't bother me that Chip was still animated and Dale was
CGI.
3D and CGI. Yeah, it didn't bother me. It doesn't bother you because it's all mixed up. Everybody's there's CGI and animation, and the CGI works.
I can't wait. I really... Jeff said he started to watch it, and it was so good, he couldn't stop watching it.
So he's like, I have to...
No, he ended up not watching the whole thing because he ended up falling asleep. But he said it was so good. I just kept watching.
You're going to laugh at the villain.
I can't wait.
You're going to laugh at the villain. It is hilarious. Yeah. It's gonna throw you off.
I can't wait. I am so excited. That'll be my week. I will watch it this week, hopefully. There's so much to watch. There's so much TV.
So much.
So let's wrap it up. Hula, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on all social media platforms. My handle is Hula San Diego. HulaSandiego, Hula San Diego. And Jess, where can we find you?
You can find me on social media on Instagram at Producer Jessica. You can We don't touch buttons.
You don't touch buttons.
Thank you.
Get a cookie.
Yeah. Go see Daddy. Where's Daddy? No. Okay. This is why we're wrapping up very quickly.
Yes. Very.
You can find me with John and Tammy Monday through Friday from 5 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 KSON here in San Diego or anywhere on the Odyssey app. You can also find the show. Please do not touch that button. Okay.
Leader of the Club. You can find it.
Leader of the Club podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We'll be back next. Walt says. We'll be back next week with everything you need to know from Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear back from you when you're there.
I'm super excited. It's one of my favorite conventions, and I love conventions. It starts Thursday, so we'll be seeing a lot of Star Wars stuff coming out. I'm going Saturday myself, so I cannot wait.
So we probably won't talk until Monday, which is Memorial Day.
Can you not do Sunday?
No, I won't, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out another time. All right. Until next time.
See you real soon.
Bye.
Bye.